Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. All right, welcome to another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast, episode number 8, to be specific. And if you can't tell already by Alex's laughter, this is the first episode ever that we're together in the same room, recording at the same mic.
Very close together, I think, is a very good point to make.
Yeah.
Very close.
Maybe next time we do this, we try two different mics and see how that works. But I like this. We're in two different desk chairs. Alex, of course, chooses the one that's most comfortable, gives me the shitty one. Hey. Let's be honest.
Hey.
Sorry to curse so early into the episode, but like that's really how it's going. But yeah, so we've been at this podcasting stuff for over a year. Started what, last April? It's now July, end of July of 2021. Alex started in April of 2020, and it's not even Giant Take or Talking Blues, one of the original podcasts. It's episode 8 of one of our newly startup Say It Never Sleeps New York Basketball podcast that we decide, yeah, this is the one that we get it going let's sit together during this.
Yeah, but I'm turning and I'm talking, Josh's face is about 12 inches away from my face and it's very awkward. But we will make
you
sure.
You want to keep talking about it, Alex?
Well, just keep it going. We'll pretend like that's not an issue. For next time, maybe we'll have to make some adjustments. But for today, we also got a new mic today. So that's very exciting. We got a new mic.
It better sound better, because if it doesn't, then Alex is basically speaking like no facts. You know,
yeah.
If it sounds better with the other, I mean, yeah, we right. very much hope that it sounds better.
We're going to try some post-editing techniques today with this stuff. You know,
just revealing all our secrets.
Yeah, we're
Alex.
Getting all of our secrets out. We're just getting real advanced here at the City That Never Sleeps, and all of the podcasts, actually. So if you want to listen to some other very advanced podcasts, technically, you can go and listen to those, The Giant Take and Talking Blues. Such a good plug right there.
Any place you can listen to them. We're basically on mostly all platforms with all three of our podcasts. You can follow those podcasts on Twitter at The Giant Take Pod and at Talking Blues Pod. Get those out of there. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. So now being able to ask you face-to-face, not on a screen all the time, which we've been very much used to with schooling and stuff like that, I'm asking you literally face-to-face right in front of you. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. You know, there's nothing I'd rather do than sit in a room very close to each other and talk about some basketball. I have to mention it because it's just getting more uncomfortable by the second. But it's in general, it's nice to see people in person now that a lot of people are vaccinated. It's nice that, you know, you can actually talk to a person like a normal human being and not over a Zoom call or over, you know, whatever recording software we're actually using. So yeah, I'm excited and I'm happy. And it's exciting that this is the first of hopefully many to come.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if this goes successfully, then I think, which it is so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going crazy at each other yet.
Not yet.
No. But if we don't, then I think there will be many more in the future. You ready to get into some stuff?
I am ready to get into some stuff.
All right, so let's start out with the NBA Finals, obviously. The Bucks did, in fact, defeat the Phoenix Suns, and Alex, you were right. I did ride off the Bucks a little bit too early and a little bit too much. I had the Suns in six,
I said maybe the Suns could sweep in four after they were up 2-0 at home. And the Bucks decided to win four in a row. Won four in a row, one at home. It was a great scene in Milwaukee. The fans inside and outside the arena. If there was any better of a player than Giannis Antetokounmpo to win, you know, NBA Finals MVP, tell me now, because I really don't think so. And what a great guy he was. If you haven't checked it out, he's just really humble. In his press conference after the game, he was really humble. He, you know, wanted to say that anyone... I think someone asked a question about his heritage in Nigeria and Greece, you know, how that kind of impacts someone, but he kind of wanted to not just put that as somewhere where he's from, but anyone, of any, whatever you want to do, not just, you know, you can become a basketball player, but if you have a dream, go and try to achieve it. And he was talking about that, what he was just doing, played basketball to try to give money to his family and try to help out the family, and it turned into what? Why are you looking at me like
nothing. That? I was just looking at you like a normal conversation.
All right, that is true. We are having a normal conversation on the podcast. But what I was going back to was, you know, he was talking about he started playing basketball to just get money to his family and then to bring that on the main stage in the Milwaukee Bucks. He said just doing that was amazing to him. And now he's sitting with two trophies in his hands, you know, winning the NBA Finals MVP, like I said, winning the finals with his teammates. 8 years is a process, 3 years that they've been on for this process of, you know, recruiting the players to try and win it, but they did it. And he did say, you know, even if I'm never here again, this is my, you know, greatest day of my life and all that stuff. And then the next day I ordered a 50 piece from Chick-fil-A. So I would say he had a pretty good 24 hours.
Yeah, and he, in Game 7, he had one of the great finals performances, 50 points, I believe 13 or 14 rebounds, 14 rebounds. It was just an insane performance from Giannis, and he absolutely destroyed the Suns single-handedly almost, and it was a really impressive performance from him. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, they all stepped in. You know, P.J. Tucker defensively was important. Brooke Lopez had a solid game. Obviously, the former net Brooke Lopez, the franchise leader in scoring for the Nets, Brooke Lopez. So kind of sad to see him win a ring before the Nets do. But, you know, we're not going to talk about it.
Bobby Portis, too, Alex.
And Bobby Portis winning a ring, too.
You want to go to the Knicks. Congrats. Congrats to me as a Knicks fan to watch Bobby Portis bug eyes Bobby Portis
win. And run down the court like a maniac after he got the... Well, it wasn't a foul, to be fair to him. Jay Crowder just flopped.
Emotions got the best of Giannis, though, crying on the bench. That was the scene. That was the scene. That was definitely something to watch. I mean, I would say as the Bucks team, it was a run together. In that game six of the NBA Finals, it was a Giannis show. You can't deny that he carried them in that game to mm-hmm. a victory. Yes. The whole team worked together as a group. I would say the whole finals, that game six was all Giannis. When you look back at that game in 20 years, you're going to think of Giannis Antetokounmpo, not PJ Tucker, right? I mean,
mentioned him for solidarity. Also, he did have 0 points, so I did kind of feel bad and just wanted to mention him.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's really good for Giannis and Middleton especially. You know, they've been together for a long time as well, and I think just for them to get that together, obviously Giannis, you know, loves him just like Middleton loves Giannis. I think it's a really good thing that they built together, and they were able to share it. And Alex, I mean, I guess, I mean...
It's sad for CP3, right, that he didn't get to win a ring.
Yep.
I saw some people, you know, coming after him, because right after the final buzzer rang, like, he just walked right into the locker room. So some people were upset about that. I mean, imagine losing the NBA Finals after all you did to get there. To be fair, he didn't play very well in the Finals. Devin Booker did not have the best Finals performance either. He missed quite a few key shots down the stretch. And in general, the rest of that Suns team just did not step up like they did throughout the rest of the playoffs. Players like Jay Crowder, players like Bridges, DeAndre Ayton just didn't have the best of nights, especially DeAndre Ayton, who really struggled defensively against Giannis. Not that anyone really, you know, succeeds against Giannis very much, but he definitely, obviously allowing 50 points, did not have the greatest night. And they were really just trying to figure out a solution, whether that being putting the smaller Jay Crowder on Giannis, which didn't end up working out very well, and then obviously putting Ayton on him. And they rarely built the wall, which was something that we've seen lots of NBA teams do. It was almost like Monty Williams had a little bit too much pride in his players to do it and to kind of concede the wall, but I think you just have to do it when you're playing against a player of that quality. And just DeAndre Ayton was just getting eaten alive. And, you know, you can't blame 1v1. I don't think there's anyone that can guard Giannis.
One v one, yeah, Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think even the top NBA players in the league, Giannis showed in these playoffs that you're not stopping me, basically. I can get to the paint, I can get a layup, I can get a dunk when I want to. And I think the he postered someone, too, in that game, didn't he? Was it DeAndre Ayton?
Well, Brooke Lopez postered someone, too, I believe.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
He had that one-handed jam towards the like late second half, so that was Brooke Lopez.
And even what's cool is that these players will be available tomorrow when we're recording this. I don't know when this episode will be released, but we're recording this on Saturday, the day before the first men's game in the U.S. basketball, and those three players will be available, Booker, Middleton, Drew Holiday, for Team USA in the opener against France. I'm kind of looking at the events right now.
And pretty funny scenes from the Olympics, actually, is that Draymond Green organized with all the fellow American Olympic basketball players to sing Kevin Durant happy birthday when it was not his birthday. And Kevin Durant just stood there, if you watch the video, very awkwardly and kind of just was very confused. Draymond Green was loving it. Everyone else was loving it. Kevin Durant seemed quite confused.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Durant, even when it is his birthday, he looks confused out there, to be honest. He looks confused.
He's just always serious. You gotta keep a serious mindset.
That is also very true. I think that, will you be up for any of these games, Alex? Because as we know, the Tokyo time is not the best. We have Group A of the men's tournament tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. against France. We have Wednesday's game against Iran at 12:40 a.m. And then we have next Saturday's game, July 21st, against the Czech Republic at 8 a.m. once again.
8 a.m.s are doable. 12:40 a.m.s, less so. Especially if you have to wake up early the next morning.
That's interesting, because I would feel like for you, you would be up more at 12:40 than you would be at 8 a.m.
But if you're thinking about it, right, the 12:40, then you're looking till almost 3 o'clock in the morning by the time games end, right? Whereas with the 8 o'clock games, you're looking like 8 to 10:30-ish, right? So I don't know. At least now, recently, I've been waking up earlier for, getting out of the house and going to work and stuff. So I guess it's not so bad, but
I'll be able to watch the games, the 8 a.m. games, maybe a little bit. Well, tomorrow we're off, luckily.
Tomorrow we are off. Well, I'm not off, but, it's okay. Josh is off.
Working on Sundays much?
Working on Sundays much.
Yeah.
But I don't work on Wednesdays or Saturdays, so.
Yeah, which is, really interesting that Wednesday is your off day. I don't understand that, but, I mean, good for you, Alex. I was going to ask you two questions wrapped up in one. One of them's kind of funny, but it's not really a serious question. Devin Booker losing the finals. One question, does that affect his relationship at all with Kendall Jenner? Second of all, does that really change? There's obviously some trades, mock trade. Devin Booker goes here, Devin Booker goes there. Did this change his mindset at all? You think he leaves Phoenix? I know, it's kind of it.
I think, first question, I think Kendall Jenner, one of the best GMs in the league. But, she may have to pass. You're looking at some talent. She might have to go to Giannis. Giannis has a girlfriend already, I do believe, though. And he has a kid, so. I think that's
I believe he's locked up.
I think he's locked up, but you're looking at someone like, Kevin Durant's open. Kevin Durant is very much open.
Kevin Durant is so open that he's taking girls who have had very big legacies in the world of stuff that we don't need to talk about on this podcast, to bring backup dates if they don't show up.
Yeah,
basically he wants to have some activities with...
It sounds like he's a lonely guy who just needs some, company, really.
Okay, so he was in the presence of Lana Rhodes, who I'm not even going to describe what she does, but if you know, you know. But basically... went on a date with her and brought a backup date.
When you're Kevin Durant, you can do whatever the hell you want.
You heard about that situation?
Yes, I did hear about that.
That's where you're, I think, going at, right?
I was
going
to go out. But Kevin Durant, he's open. Who else is open? Julius Randle, he had a good season last year. Oh, wait, he's married,
nope,
isn't he?
And has a child.
And he has a child.
You're going off really bad players right
I'm
now.
I'm trying to think. Who's a player that's single?
I want to make sure for the people who don't know when Alex is referencing Kendall Jenner, best GM in the league, he means that basically...
She's dated quite literally a whole bunch of NBA
players. A whole bunch of NBA players.
But Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin.
Can we transition back to the Devin Booker?
Does this change his system in Phoenix? I was so focused on the Kendall Jenner thing. Sorry.
His mindset in Phoenix.
His mindset in Phoenix, I think it depends. Chris Paul, is he going to leave Phoenix? I think that's very much possible. Could you see him going to the Lakers? Could you see him going I mean, I think the Lakers are the only place he'd go, but then there's been rumors about Kyle Lowry. There's been rumors about a lot of people. Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets, obviously, because they need a point guard there because Dennis Schroeder's just not really cutting it. I think it's a possibility that he goes there and really chases a ring. But I think if CP3 leaves, then you maybe are looking at Devin Booker as a possibility to be shipped out of Phoenix in a trade deal and really just try to start the rebuilding process down there in Phoenix. But I don't really know. I think if everyone stays, I think they can make a run at it again next year.
I agree. I mean, to answer my own question, I don't think he goes.
But then again, I don't think they can make a run at healthy Lakers, a healthy Clippers, a healthy, you know, even a Mavericks if they really get, you know, a big piece that's been rumored like they have. Or the Warriors, for example, who have Klay back next season. I think they're, I don't think they're going to be able to beat those teams if they're playing fully healthy.
And who are the Warriors looking to go after? I was seeing that the
Bradley other day. Beal was one that was came up yesterday. Damian Lillard obviously has come up, but Damian Lillard, I don't think he's leaving.
And on Saturday today when we're recording this, it seems that Beal is nearing a trade request.
I think Beal could leave, and I think at the Warriors he'd actually be a very nice fit there.
Yeah, I think he's a good role player. I mean,
well, he's an all-star.
Yeah.
He's not a role player. He's a great number two option.
He's going to have to play a role if we have Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry, Bradley Beal on the same team.
Well, he's going to be that number two option. Klay Thompson would move to the three, the third option. I don't think you're not going to give up all those assets that you'd have to give one up of those for Bradley
guys,
Beal.
You think they all start? One of those guys doesn't come off the bench?
I think you have to, I mean, you try to start all of them. I mean, if you're thinking about it, though, Klay might have to be a type of person who might be involved in the deal for Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. I mean, I'll look for some mock trades. I don't really know if there's any mock trades.
I'd assume you need to give up multiple firsts, probably a decent couple role players, a couple pick swaps. I mean, Bradley Beal has always kind of, there's always been rumors that he might want to leave, right? And I think this might be his opportunity to do so. Obviously, Westbrook's also been rumored to go back to the Lakers, not back to the Lakers, to the Lakers. And he's always, you know, thrown around everywhere in trade rumors, so you never know with him. But Bradley Beal, I think there's a decent chance that he leaves this offseason.
Yeah, I'm still looking.
I mean, I'd assume it's a similar type of package you'd have to put up for Dame, right? I think you're probably giving up a little bit less for Bradley Beal, but it's a similar type of package.
Yeah, I guess so. I need to also look at where's his contract at, right?
I also know that the Nets, for example, were interested in him when they were looking at the James Harden trade, right? They were interested in Bradley Beal as a part of that instead of James Harden, but they ended up opting to go with the James Harden route. I'm not sure if he's a fit for the Knicks. I don't really think so. I don't think he's the type of player who could really take control of a team and, you know, lead them throughout the playoffs. But I think he's a borderline number one option. I'm not sure if he's a number one option in those clutch situations, though.
I would say Lillard's a better player than Beal. We both agree about that. I know it's two different positions.
Lillard is a better player in the playoffs, and I think that's what really matters for the Knicks.
Yes, but on a yes, okay. Looking back at the contracts, or looking at the contracts, not back, I don't know, you know, I'm looking back in time. Looking currently into the future for both players' contracts. Beal's going to be a free agent in 2023. Yeah. You have Lillard locked up for 4 more years, so he's going to be a free agent in 2025.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that says anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with Beal, but I think he's gone this offseason, in my opinion. I think Dame stays, though.
You think Damian Lillard? You think Beal's gone?
Like, I think Beal is more likely to leave than Damian Lillard.
Why?
I think there's a less ideal situation there for Beal. I think Beal has more of a reason to leave. Dame, as much as, you know, his supporting cast isn't great, I wouldn't say there's many teams that could take him or that would, you know, give out up enough that would be a more competitive team than that Trailblazers team. Because okay. You're talking C.J. McCollum, they have Norman Powell, they have Covington, they have Nurkic. You know, they have some decent role players there, right? I think it's possible that if they're fully healthy and players like C.J. McCollum really step up, kind of like how the Suns did this season. You never know, and I think Dame realizes that. Whereas I think Bradley Beal, when you're looking at that Wizards team, especially if Westbrook goes, I think you're not really looking at a team that could be in contention to make a run in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Are you ready? You want to move on?
I am ready for some little draft talk.
A little draft talk. We got the draft coming up on Thursday. We might have an episode later this week.
Well, we'll have one later this week. We'll see whether it be after the draft or before the draft. We'll have to see.
Very true, Alex. We might have some day of, like, Thursday released episode in the morning, kind of previewing, even though we're doing some previewing on the draft right now, kind of previewing a little more if there's more stuff that comes out. Because, you know, by that point, there are some teams that, like, their you know, players that they really like are getting leaked. So we can talk about, like, you know, the Knicks are, like, really targeting this player. We know the Nets are really targeting this player. We'll kind of talk about that a little bit. But, yeah, we have some little stuff to kind of talk about now. And I want to first start out with Isaiah Jackson. If you don't know who that is, he plays for the Kentucky Wildcats. He's going to be entering in this draft, I believe, as a freshman coming right out of college. He was on the SEC All-Defensive Team, the SEC All-Freshman Team this year. He's a power forward, and he was liked by both teams, I guess, I'll say. The Knicks and Nets, in a CBS article I read, that he's kind of a target and a perfect player for both teams. Now, this is because I'm guessing he has really good defense. You know, he's really good defensively, which is something the Nets really need. And I feel like something that the Knicks don't really need, but something if the Knicks get another defensive piece, then they're, like, you know, fully set. But I feel like, you know, they're pretty good there. I mean, but kind of, you know, I read the article, I read it through, then I was like, let me take a look at his stats. His stats are not anything that jumps off the board. Guy averages about 8 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, maybe an assist. Is about 54% from the field. So I don't really know exactly what it is about this player that jumps out at many people, but I mean, from what it looks like getting the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, that's a big thing, especially in your freshman season. So I'm assuming that's what the big deal is.
I mean, obviously the Knicks' philosophy under Tibbs, they're, you know, very defensively sound. I think that's an attraction for Isaiah Jackson. Like you said, the Nets need defensive help desperately. I wouldn't even say the Nets need defensive help desperately. It's really if the players on the court, especially the big three, are they willing to defend? Because if they're willing to put a shift in, the Nets defended average, which is all they need to do, right? If the Nets are an average defense in the NBA, you know, they're all set.
Yeah. No, I tend to agree with you. I agree with that, and I think that the Knicks don't need this player as much as the Nets do, if we're comparing that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I would think so.
If I was the Knicks, I'd be looking at a different option of a type of player who can really help them going offensively.
Yeah, I mean, that's why these rumors of Damian Lillard and these creators, Lonzo Ball, signing in free agency, Bradley Beal, like we were talking about earlier, Colin Sexton, which really I feel like has been swirling now more than the Bradley Beal, than the Damian Lillard stuff.
And none of those guys are any hot shots defensively, right? Lonzo Ball especially is definitely not a player that you're looking for defensively. So I think the Knicks are not really worried about that. I think they're really looking for some players that can really help create and start helping with playmaking.
Yeah. I mean, looking at like some daily Knicks posts, they were talking about a trade that happened in Cleveland Cavaliers trade, and they were saying how awful it was. The trade, Alex, was Colin Sexton, Kevin Love, and Torian Prince, former Net, to the Knicks in exchange for RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, Obi Toppin, Kevin Knox, and all of the picks that the New York Knicks have in this 2021 season. That does include 19, 21, 32, and 58.
Yeah, that's not happening. I mean, hey, never say never with the Knicks, right? You can never say never, but I doubt it.
It's very unlikely. I would tend to agree with you. There was another article I saw that is Nerlens Noel the biggest piece, the key piece to a Colin Sexton deal, which I don't know. I mean, but I think that the Colin Sexton kind of news, rumors, whatever you want to call it, articles, tweets,
picking
up more than Damian Lillard, I would say. I feel like after Damian Lillard made the comment saying I expect to be in a Trailblazers jersey next season, I did not say those words. I did not request a trade in that press conference for the USA team. I think, you know, I feel like the Damian Lillard trade news in general is kind of slowed, because for the player, for a player like that to come out and literally come to a mic and say no, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to to start writing articles about how it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when a player comes out and, you know, says it, he said it pretty point blank. I think he left some room open in case he did want to change his mind. But
true.
But yeah, I think those rumors, and I think he's just not the perfect fit for the Knicks either. I don't think he's the solution. As you, I think you need to attract another piece for Damian Lillard to really want to come and join the Knicks. But I guess let's look at this mock draft that we have over here.
Well, just real quick before we do that. Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to say that Scott Perry has been, you know, put up to another contract. Has been extended. Wow. Another contract, a multi-year contract extension. And, yeah, he's going to stay with the team, it looks like. He was, I think he's been with the team in 2017. I want to say, but he was able to sign Julius Randle, drafted Mitchell Robinson. He was also important for the signing of Bobby Portis. That's, you know, a huge deal. But he's worked very well with William Wesley, or Worldwide West, as we know them as. And also, what's his name? I can't think of his name now. Give me a second. I know his full name, but I don't... Leon Rose. There we go. Leon Rose, who is now the... What is it? President of the Knicks at this point. He is the president for the Knicks. Yeah, so he worked very well with him, and he also worked very well with William Wesley. A league told the Post, New York Post, and they have a very talented and experienced front office, and he's a very valuable piece of it. So that's the news, Alex. Scott Perry has been extended on his deal. And now, as we look, this will be the final piece before the trivia portion of this podcast, is a NBA mock draft here that we'll go over a little bit.
All right, so we're going to do the three picks here for the Knicks and Nets here in the first round. Not a mock 19th overall to the Knicks by CBS Sports. Chris Duarte, guard out of Oregon. He's a senior, and I think the Knicks could use some guard help. He had 17.1 points per game. Five rebounds per game and three assists per game with a 42.4% three-point percentage. They have him prospect ranked number 27 and position rank number 10 at the guard position. He's 6'6", 190 pounds. It could be a good fit for the Knicks.
I want a point guard at that 19 spot, so I don't know if I agree so much with the selection of the shooting guard. But they do need that too, as right now it's probably Reggie Bullock that is the starting shooting guard for the Knicks.
And then for 21, they have Usman Garuba, a power forward from Spain, 6'8", 229 pounds, is a versatile high-level defender who could help as a rookie and could have the potential to be one of the best defensive bigs in the NBA. I think that would be a decent pick, you know, that you guys could use some bigs with some of them leaving in free agency this offseason.
And Garuba, also very young at 18 years old, could be a player that could be very good, as obviously he's so young that getting him with Tom Thibodeau and already being such a good player to just improve him even more defensively, Alex, and offensively obviously get some points on the board as well. I think that would be pretty cool having an 18-year-old in the NBA, and but probably 19 at that point. I have to see when his birthday is, but he's really young, so I think a good, exciting prospect. I agree with that pick of 21, so I'll go 1-for-2 so far for CBS.
And for pick 27 for the Nets, they have Jared Butler, point guard out of Baylor. He's a junior, 6'4", 195 pounds, averaged 16.7 points a game, 3 rebounds and 5 assists per game with a 42% three-point percentage. They have him as the 14th ranked prospect here. So I actually agree with this. I think the Nets need a point guard as much as we need a big man. I think that's someone you can more target in free agency, whereas I feel like a point guard who can back up James Harden and Kyrie Irving, because obviously they're both, you know, struggled with injuries this past season, especially Kyrie, someone who could step in and really help create some offense for the Nets when those two are not on the floor. So I think he's a perfect fit.
And that'll do it for the three picks between both teams. 19 and 21 for the New York Knicks, number 27 for the Brooklyn Nets. And I think, besides the trivia portion of this podcast, that does it for the news portion. Let's go on to the trivia portion. I will go first, Alex.
All right, fine.
in the Nets' final win of this season. It was game 5 against the Milwaukee Bucks, if you can remember that game, Alex. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, pretty simple question, was there any, how many players, sorry, excuse me, the question is how many players surpassed 20 points in that game? Game 5, the Nets won in the playoffs. It was a 114-108 victory for the Brooklyn Nets. Players reached over 20 points. The question for you is how many players reached over 20 points?
So James Harden was not playing in that game, correct?
James Harden was playing in that game.
He was.
Played 46 minutes in that game.
Oh, yes, he was, right? Okay, this is game 5, you said? I thought you said game 4.
Game 5.
All right, so game 5.
Last win of the next season.
That was the day he was playing on one leg, though, I do believe.
I don't know.
That was the day he was playing on one leg, so I do believe he only had like 5 points or something crazy like that. So I don't think it was him. I think Joe... So how many players or the names of the players?
No, how many?
I know Kevin Durant obviously had more. Kyrie Irving was injured. I would say more than 20. I mean, I think it's probably just Kevin Durant, but maybe Jeff Green. Jeff Green really went off in one of those games. But I'm going to go one, and I'm just going to go Kevin Durant.
Well, Alex, with number one, you are correct. Kevin Durant played 48 minutes in that game, had more points than how many minutes he played with 49 points.
I know he had a lot of points that game.
He got a triple-double, 17 rebounds and 10 assists as well, along with those 49 points. And it was right on the tip of your tongue, as Jeff Green, in fact, had 27 points.
That was the game he hit like 8 threes. I remember that game.
That was the game. It seems like he went off, had a rebound and 3 assists as well. And you were correct, exactly on the dot. With the 37 minutes that James Harden played, only had 5 points in that game.
Yep, I remember that.
So
he was playing on one leg, to be fair to him. So
pretty good for you, though. Okay, you
basically got it right if I just continued saying what I was going to say. And
with Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Let's hear that next question.
All right. Which former Knicks All-Star was arrested at Madison Square Garden in 2017? I remember seeing a news story on this around the time, actually.
I'm assuming it's Oakley, but read the options.
Okay. So the options are Carmelo Anthony, Lateral Sprewell, Sprewell, how do you want me to say it?
Just keep going.
Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
And Charles Oakley.
Yeah. I'm glad I remember this, because if I didn't, then what an atrocious scene. Obviously, it was Oakley getting into it with the Knicks front office at that point, and arrested and obviously taken away from his seats and, I think, banned from the Knicks games
Oakley
or whatever.
Oakley was ejected from the arena after he allegedly yelled at James L. Dolan, the executive chairman of Madison Square Garden.
Which, if no one knows,
he denies. He denies it. Mm-hmm. According to the Knicks, he hit a security guard in the face and shoved another guard before being dragged away from the game, handcuffed and arrested by the police. He disputed the Knicks' rendition of events in an interview with ESPN's The Undefeated, saying he would never have said a word to Dolan and was minding his own business when he was confronted by Madison Square Garden security, who asked why he was sitting so close to Dolan before demanding that he leave the building. So that is what happened.
And that was a really bad day when it comes to the Knicks. They did not look good there, but I mean, that just shows society hates Dolan. James Dolan has never done well for this team. People think he's a loser, self-centered, things of that nature. And I tend to agree at most points in time, as being a Knicks fan at 15 years old and haven't seen any success besides this season. And a little bit in 2012 with Anthony and Jeremy Lin and, you know, that little run. But besides that, it seems that Dolan is only worried about ticket sales and not, you know, knowing how to create this team and make them better. And Alex, I didn't know if you knew that, you know, why Dolan is hated so much. That's why, you know, he cares more about the money, obviously. And I feel like this is, you know,
a common thread about most owners, to be fair.
But. Yeah. I mean, you think about it with Jerry too, Jerry's world and on the Cowboys, right?
Jerry Jones. What a favorite.
I feel like people think that he also is a little bit, you know,
yeah, for sure.
Cares a little bit more about his yachts than he does his players at some point.
I would agree.
But, so that's really the deal with James Dolan, and I tend to agree about that. I got that question right. I'm proud of myself.
Did.
You ready to wrap this one up?
I am ready.
All right. Go follow Alex on Twitter at @Anorian23. Go follow me on Twitter at @JoshSchola29. We really appreciate you listening. Please subscribe. Drop 5 stars, rating, and or review. And before we see you in next episode, Alex, how would you rank this? Well, how would you rank this? First ever in-person
podcast. I would say it was uncomfortable to start. Now that you just brought it up again, it's continuing to be uncomfortable, but in the middle portion, I did not notice it.
What do you mean, uncomfortable? I thought it was really good. I thought we did
I thought it was successful as well.
Okay. So we really appreciate you listening, and we will see you next time.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.